like to thank the Tagers. This is not one of the classes they come to, but today was the yard site of Stuart's mother, Chaya Bas Meyer, I believe her name was. So hopefully our learning tonight should be le'ilu nishmasa. Her soul should have an elevation through our learning. Okay. Thank you to Stuart and Janelle. Some good stuff tonight. I mean, it's always good, but Vayishlach really brings it out of Pshisla. Welcome, Ron. And congrats to Ron. Congrats to Ron. He's making the bulletin for the first time this week, if I'm not mistaken. After that Yosef answer last Motzei Shabbos.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. You know, when we say, here's a good trivia question. When in our Jewish, I'm trying not to give too much away, daily activities, not daily, but weekly activities, do we send away Malachim?
Friday night.
Says the Katzker Rebbe, what does it mean? Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. Shalcham milafanav. He sent them out of his face. He said, get out of here. Sheyelchum imenu. He doesn't want them there anymore. Ki ein lo tzorach be'ezrasam. He doesn't need them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yazor bli malachim. Hashem's going to be with him. He doesn't need angels' help anymore. This is a vart I heard long ago, way back when I was what they called a baby rabbi in Riverdale. This week actually happened to rejoin with my RJC... people know the Riverdale Jewish Center is a shul. Toby probably knows it in Riverdale, and we had an interesting. They had a program like reconnecting with old interns or previous interns. I don't know if you'd call me old, but they. It was nice, you know. Got to schmooze a little bit. We connected and talking about what I'm up to and how we were dealing with COVID and things like that. So way back when I was in the RJC, so I once gave a Dvar Torah on Friday night about Shalom Aleichem. There's a lot of interesting nuances to Shalom Aleichem, even though it sounds like we're saying the same thing over and over and over again. There are slight nuances. And one of the interesting nuances to look at is we seem to be welcoming the guests, welcoming the angels. It's all based on Gemara and Shabbos Kuf Yates. We welcome the angels. You know, Shalom Aleichem, Boachem L'Shalom, right? Barchuni even, that's a tough one. Barchuni might also relate to this week's Parsha in terms of what Yaakov says to the Malach, but look out for this week's Kasha. You'll see what it means. It might not exactly be the way I just described it. But I'm not going to give you any more than that because I don't want people to research before Shabbos. So so we say Barchunu L'Shalom, give us a blessing. Then all of a sudden, at the end of Shalom Aleichem, we say Tzeischon L'Shalom. All right, now you can go on your way. What do you mean? We just welcomed them in. We said hi. We got a bracha from them. Also, we're telling them to leave. The whole shtickle is, that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the time where we don't need intermediaries. We don't do things on Shabbos that need us, that sort of are means to an end, right? That's what the weekday is for. The weekdays are for those means to an end, those intermediaries, those mediums where we find the connection to Hashem through our work and through our toiling, right? It's not necessarily clear and obvious and explicit or immediate avodas Hashem in many of the things that we do during the week, but there are means to an end. Right, you put a roof over your head so you can be a better Jew. Right, you get food so you can make brachas. Right, things like that. When it comes to Shabbos, however, Shabbos is a time where we invite Shabbos in, and it's just us and Hashem. And therefore, at the end of Shalom Aleichem, before we really start our Shabbos meal, we say Tzeischem L'Shalom. It's great to have you, Malachim. Thank you for escorting me out of the days of the week and into Shabbos. But now it's time for just Hashem. Now we just need Hashem. And the Katzker Rebbe says the same thing's happening at the beginning of the Parsha. Yaakov is now going to greet Esav. How does this work within the narrative? You'd have to work at a different time. As we know, Chassidus Shvartlach are not always trying to teach us the Pshat. So here, Katzker Rebbe says, Yaakov is saying, I no longer need Malachim. I don't need any help anymore. I can go and approach Esav by myself because I know I have Hashem with me. I don't need the Malachim, and that's what it says. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. I don't need any help. A certain confidence in your own bitachon and Hashem can go a long way when you have those difficult situations. One of my favorite psukim of this parsha, and I don't know if it's because it is a a song from Yonatan Reisel. I don't know if people know Yonatan Reisel. Adina, I'd be surprised. Yes or no? Yes? Okay. Yonatan Reisel has a beautiful song called Katonti. And it's based on the Pasuk Nusuz Parsha. Interesting whether you can make songs out of Psukim, but either way, it's a very unique song. The rhythm is very unique. Katonti mikol achasadim umikol ha'emes. I don't know if people know it. It's a beautiful song, but it's based on Yaakov here. He says to Hashem, Yaakov says to Hashem, I'm going in front of Esav, and I'm like deathly afraid. Katonti mikol achasadim. Rashi tells us, right, that he's worried that he lost all of his merit, and he says, I've become small because of all of the chasadim. This is Machlokas Rashi and Ramban, how exactly to understand it. But the Choza of Lublin. Now, for those who keep track of the historical aspects of this class, right, obviously it's Pshischa. However, the Choza of Lublin has a very important influence, in some ways an oppositional influence to Pshischa. I was talking to somebody this week. They want me to come on their podcast, like a Jewish thought podcast. They said, like, what interests you? So I said, well, if you really want to know, I'm interested in how Hasidic sects get started, and specifically how Pshischa broke off from Lublin. They said, okay, I don't know if we'll get that explicit or that detailed, but, you know, maybe we can talk about Hasidism and you know, modern day bridging the gaps, fine. Rav Simcha Bunim and the Yid HaKadosh, who we've talked about before, I think his name was Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Rabinovich, but his name is like almost exactly the same as Choza of Lublin, I think also has the name of Yitzchak Yaakov, Yaakov Yitzchak, something like that. They break off from Lublin because of sort of the Choza. There are different ways of understanding it, obviously, which is why I'm intrigued by it, but the Choza was very much into the concept of a Rebbe, and the Rebbe is the one that teaches you how to live, and the Rebbe is the intermediary between you and Hashem, and things like that. And again, sort of like your classic Hasidic concept, at least early Hasidic concepts of Dveikus and Avas Hashem and Tefillah, and sort of a de-emphasis on in-depth Torah learning. And the Rav Simcha Bunim and Yid HaKadosh wanted both of those things back. They wanted heavy, you know, in-depth Torah learning, and they also wanted the concept of personal autonomy, right? The Yid HaKadosh, as you notice, his name is the Holy Jew. Specifically termed that way, at least from my understanding, specifically titled the Holy Jew and not the Rebbe Yid HaKadosh, because he wanted to give over this message that it's not just the Rebbe that can be Kadosh. The Yid can be Kadosh too. Every single person, every individual has a personal autonomy to understand Torah, to understand their own Judaism, and you don't just sort of resign to whatever the Rebbe says, in that dynamic that they had in Lublin. The reason that I'm saying it now from the Choza of Lublin is because that's what this book says. This book says it's from the Choza. I first heard this drasha not from the Choza, but from Reb Tzadok of Lublin, which is a different, I think I heard it from Reb Tzadok, which is a different iteration of Lublin, which comes after Reb Simcha Bunim passes away. It comes from, I believe it's a breakoff of, Ishbitz. Not 100% sure about that. But either way, the Me'a Shiloach. So he says, Katonti mikol chasadim. Right? We just said, Katonti mikol chasadim means, I've been made small because of all the wonderful things Hashem gave me. Right? Hashem has given me so much, I feel like I'm undeserving of all of this. Right? I've been made small. Says the Choza, it's not true. Well, I guess that's one way to look at it. The Choza says, Katonti Who mikol hachasadim? What does it mean, katonti mikol hachasadim? That my smallness, my humility, my smallness is also a chesed of Hashem. Right? Katonti, my smallness, mikol hachasadim. It's from the good acts, from the kindnesses of Hashem. Gam ma shekatonti b'einai. The fact that I see myself as small is a chesed mikol chaste Hashem. That's the greatest kindness Hashem has given me. For me to maintain the perspective of myself, that I'm not as great as, you know, as maybe other people might assume based on all the success that I've had. Hashem has made me small, has kept me small. And why the reason I love this drush is because we often think, especially when we grow up, become adults, we have certain amount of success, We think that, you know, we'll give credit to people when it comes to if they taught us a skill or they gave us some kind of opportunity. But we don't often give credit to other people, or specifically to Hashem, for personality traits, right? Those things are usually, that's just us, you know? You gave me the skills, but like, I had the work ethic, and I had the ambition, I had the confidence, right? I had the aspiration, right? That was all me, right? That's personality. You gave me the opportunity, you might have taught me how to do something, but the personality that, you know, the kochos hanefesh that I have, so that was basically just me. But says the Chozeh, Katonti is also mikol ha-chasadim. My humility is also a chesed that somebody else gave me. And I love that. I love that thinking, because it's so true. Whether it's nurture or nature, it's from our parents, it's from the people around us, it's from the environment we're put in, and ultimately it's also from Hashem. Hashem is the one that bestows us with a certain qualities, with certain personalities. We're born in those ways, and we're supposed to use those qualities, use those personalities, in order to, you know, effectuate what Hashem wants us to do in the world. But to recognize that Katonti is ultimately kol chasadim. My smallness, my humility, my character is also one of the chesed of Hashem. Hashem made me in this way, and that's one of the kindnesses, not just something that I have. And in a similar way, and I believe this is, the Sfas Emes talks about this quite a bit. I've seen this, I think, a couple times with Sfas Emes, but the Katzke Rebbe says, on Katonti mikol chasadim, Baal Gaiva, someone who's haughty, even if he gets knocked down, he's still haughty. Ever meet one of these people? You know, one of these people has such a big ego, even when they fail, they come up with some kind of excuse that makes it seem like they're still great, and the reason they failed is because somebody else, or something else, some other problem, someone else to blame. But they're still, right? They're still their own ego. They're maintaining that stature in their own mind. Therefore, Hashem's going to keep giving them, you know, keep pushing them down. This is what we say. We bring down the, Hashem brings down the haughty until the ground, right? Until they hit rock bottom. However, it's not the same with someone who is actually humble. Even when you lift them up, even when they do have success, they are still humble. Ever meet these people? Even when they do something well, even when they find a certain, you know, a certain modicum of hatzlacha in business or in whatever it is, in relationships, in whatever social hierarchy, whatever it is, they're still a humble person, right? They attribute all their success to somebody else or to Hashem himself. And that's what it means. Magbia shefalim ade marom. You bring up the shafel up until the heavens, up until, you know, the great elevations. They're still shefalim ad marom. Gam la'achar shegbio sam ade marom nisharu shefalim. Vizel, and that's what it means. Katonti mikol hachasadim. Achare kol hachasadim, after all the wonderful things, all the success Hashem has brought to me in my life. Look at my big, beautiful family. 11 boys, another daughter. Did someone put in something in the chat? Okay. even after all the things that happened that Hashem gave to me, I'm still a shafel. I'm still humble. Mikol achare kol hachasadim v'hagbaos lo gava libi v'lo rama karni. I don't think too highly of myself. I still recognize all the other people that do things for me, as the Chozeh says himself. This one is definitely from the Katz, though. As the Chozeh says himself, Katonti mikol chasadim, even with all of the chasadim, well, the Chozeh says, one of the chasadim is my humility, and the Katz Rebbe says, even with the chasadim, I'm still katonti, I'm still small, I'm still humbled. Beautiful, and very apropos in the world we live in. The world of showing off to everybody, instead of giving attribution to other people. I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anything that I labeled here. After the fight with the angel, if you want to get some more context or more understanding about what the fight of the angel was all about, who the angel was, what they were fighting over, you'll have to listen to my Tuesday class. We go through the whole thing. Well, I guess Adina doesn't have to listen to it, and Marsha and Marilyn don't have to listen to it, but everybody else has to listen to it. And Sarita was there too. But afterwards, Pasuk tells us, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. Yaakov comes to Shechem. We know what happens in Shechem afterwards. But Yaakov comes to Shechem Shalem. Full. Complete. He doesn't have any problem. This is almost, you know, it's almost the Torah, you know, begging you to make a parallel to what just happened, right? The Torah is basically saying, I know we just said that Yaakov was limping, but don't worry, he's Shalem, right? It's almost inviting the question. And obviously what it means is that the word Shalem here is not literally in terms of his physical stature, but maybe it's referring to a different kind of Shlemut. Says the Sfas Emes, a beautiful idea, beautiful because of the history I have with the idea. This is an idea that I believe I mentioned, trying to get this right, I believe I mentioned it, I want to say Friday night when I tried out at the YIOP in Rabbi Lieb's dining room, but I'm not 100% sure. Either way, it's not this. It wasn't this parsha. That parsha was Vayigash, but the Sfas Emes says, what does it mean? Vayavo Yaakov Shalem, Acharei She'avar Kol Derech HaYisurim. After he goes through all the difficulties, v'zochech v'zokech al yidei hatzar, after he goes through and perseveres through all the difficulties, then he's nikra shalem. Specifically, then is when he's called complete. In what way? Ke'inyan, like it says, sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. 7 times a righteous person falls and gets up. Says the Sfas Emes with a fascinating nuance that he's bringing out of that pasuk, which is at least in modern times attributed mostly to Rav Yitzchak Huttner in a famous letter that he tells, I think he sends to a student who's struggling with things. Says the Sfas Emes, al yidei hanefilos dafka. How does the person become a tzaddik? Not through the come, not through the getting up, but through the yipol, through the falling. You can only become great if you're willing to fall. If you're going to go through with something, understanding that you might fail, that's when you really grow. This, if I'm not mistaken, I quoted from Angela Duckworth. Angela Duckworth is a, I think, psychologist. I think she works more with kids. But either way, she has a book called Grit. It's a wonderful book. And she says that the way she says it, and this might trigger your memory for when I said it. I think the way she said it was, there's an old Chinese proverb. And she says, I'm not one to get tattoos, but if I would get a tattoo, I'd get this. This is what she says. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, fall 7, get up 8. Now, she obviously didn't know Mishle because it's not an old Chinese proverb, but you know what she says is exactly what the Sfas Emes is saying. Right? She thinks it's her own Chiddush, but she's really getting it from the Sfas Emes. That what? That the reason you become successful in life is not because you get up, but it's because you fall down. It's the people who aren't willing to fail that never succeed, right? Good. Shkayach saw that the falling is itself a way to greatness. Can connect to Katonti Mikola Chasadim that we said before from the Chose. So she says that it's through the falling, says the Rav Yitzchak Huttner, says the same thing. And the truth is, and I've never seen someone make this diuk, but it's mamish, the words of the pasuk teach you that. Because it doesn't say, sheva yipol v'kam tzadik. It says, sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. You're a tzadik before you even get up. Right? Sheva yipol tzadik. Right? When you fall down 7 times, then you're a tzadik. And then v'kam, and then you get up. But that's not what makes you a tzadik. What makes you a tzaddik is that you're willing to fail. You know, lahavdil elef havdalos. I once heard about Michael Jordan. I think I've said this over in the Tuesday class before. I've never been able to find this quote, so take it or leave it. I'm not usually one to look to Michael Jordan for moral guidance for a number of reasons. But so just take the idea and divorce it from him. But he's apparently, I once heard that he said that he wasn't so great because he made all of these buzzer beater shots. He was great because he was willing to miss them. Nobody else is. Everybody wants to make the last shot. Not everybody wants to miss the last shot. And Michael Jordan missed a lot more shots at the buzzer than he made. We just focus on the ones that he made. But that's why. That's apparently what he said. Why what makes him great is because he's willing to miss the last shot. Same thing here. but in a much more fundamental way, that Sheva Yipol Tzadik. When you're willing to fall, that's when you become a tzadik, because then you can grow. Then you can grow from those times. Last piece for tonight. A little harsh. It's a little bit of a harsh idea, and it's going to take some. It's going to take some intellectual honesty with ourselves to really digest it. Vayitnu al Yaakov es kol elohei anechar asher biyadam. Right, Shimon and Levi take the spoils from Shechem, and they give Yaakov all of the idols asher biyadam. V'es hanizamim asher ba'aznehem. What does that mean? Es hanizamim asher ba'aznehem. Right, they take the earrings that are in their ears. I believe that's the translation. What does he do? Says Yaakov, Vayitmon osam Yaakov, tachas ha'el Hashem Shechem. And he buries them in the ground. So, obvious question. Kol Elohei Anechar, I understand. You're going to bury the idols. That makes sense. It's Avodah Zarah. But what are you doing burying the jewelry? Asks Rav Simcha Banim himself, Ma inyan nizamim l'elokei anechar? L'elokei anechar. Why are those two things going together? Eza kashav v'shaychus yesh b'nehem. Nira says Rav Simcha Banim, Shegam tachshitim v'chevtze mosaros nechlalim b'chlal avodah zarah. Even luxuries and even jewelry can be considered avodah zarah. In what way? Shebnei adam ovdim lahem. Because people have a tendency to worship those things too. Now it's not in the same way where you're bowing down to your walk-in closet. It's not like you're bowing down to your beautiful BMW, but you sacrifice for them. You worship in the sense that you're willing to give things up in order to attain them, in order to keep them, in order to show them off. So how is that any different from actually bowing down to them? You're still being oved them, says Rav Simcha Banim. That's what Yaakov Avinu was burying. He wasn't just burying the Avodah Zarah of an explicit idol. He was burying the Avodah Zarah of people's lifestyles, of people who are worshipping jewelry. That doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have it. It means that you have to have the right perspective when you engage with it. Right? It doesn't mean you can't have a nice car. At least this is sort of, the modern Orthodox interpretation of this. It doesn't mean you can't have nice things. It means that you have to put those nice things in perspective. These things are not what I care about. These things happen to be good to me. They're functional. They get they allow me to have a more comfortable life, allow me to be a better Oved Hashem. But they themselves are not something that I'm worshiping. And that's what it means, says Rav Simcha Banim, that Yaakov Avinu also buried the jewelry, as if to tell them that this is or could also be Avodah Zarah. And to make it even more harsh, and this is going to be harsher, not just in terms of the explicit materialism, but even explicit spirituality can also be Avodah Zarah. There is such a thing as being an Oved Avodah Zarah towards Jewish values, towards Jewish activities. You know, to sacrifice certain, I want to tiptoe a little bit, but to sacrifice certain values for the sake of davening the way that you used to daven, or to learn the way that you want to learn, at the detriment of maybe your parents' wishes, to the detriment of maybe your family's well-being, to the detriment of maybe health concerns, right? There's a certain avodah zarah that goes along with the worshiping of your previous activities for the sake of your own comforts and not for the sake of Avodas Hashem. Now, that's a very difficult thing to ever pin on somebody, and I would not do so lightly, but there definitely is such a concept, and there definitely is such a pitfall that some people fall into, that they want to do certain things, whether that means get a car, or whether that means learn in Kollel, or whether that means, you know, doing any mitzvah to the detriment of another person, to another value. There are such things that we worship them, even though explicitly they might not exactly be. Yes, that could be too, Saul. Might not explicitly be an idol, but it's certainly something that you're oved unnecessarily or unjustifiably. So things to remember from Vayishlach. Number one, we don't need the malachim, especially on Shabbos. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim milfanav. angels, it's time for me to be just with Hashem. Katonti mikol ha-chasadim, number one, it could mean that my personality also comes from Hashem. Not just the activities and not just the skills and the opportunities other people give me or Hashem has given me, but also who I am as a person is one of the chasadim that Hashem gave me. Katonti, my humility. And similarly, katonti mikol ha-chasadim, says the Kutzker Rebbe, to stay humble even at lofty heights, even after a successful endeavor. And then we said from the Sfas Emes, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Why was he Shalem? Because he fell down. Because he's limping. That's how he became Shalem. It was through that difficulty, through the perseverance, that he became Shalem. You cannot become Shalem unless you're willing to fall. Sheva Yipol, that's a tzaddik. And then lastly, we said from Yaakov Avinu, Avodah Zarah can be defined in much broader terms than just a literal idol. It might mean our luxuries, it might mean our activities, and it might mean how we treat other people to the detriment of other people, when even though it might look like on the outside that we're doing something innocent or even doing something valuable, that could also be avodah zarah, depending on our perspective when we do it. Shkayach, everyone, should have a great Shabbos. Thank you to the Tagers for sponsoring. Hopefully this class is Le'iloi Nishmas Chaya Bas Meir. And a Freilich Hanukkah, Amir Tashem. Yeah, Dina.
Was someone else talking?
No, you're good.